Arzei HaLevanon. Written by Rabbi Meir ben Yechiel, this kina tells the story of the 10 martyrs who were killed during the time of Korban Bayit Sheni and the Bar Kochav rebellion, and it is, so to speak, a highlight of the keynote of Tisha B'Av. This is in part because of the dramatic nature of the story, in part because of the personalities involved, some of whom are familiar to us from the Mishnah, and largely because we know the story so well from its recitation during Musaf on Yom Kippur. The two accounts, Arzei HaLevanon on Tisha B'Av and Ela Ezkara from Yom Kippur, are not identical. By analyzing one of the major differences, we can learn one of the most important themes of Tisha B'Av. The difference to which I refer is the omission from the Tisha B'Av service of what is arguably the most famous image in the entire story. According to Ela Ezkara, Rabbi Ishmael, upon hearing the verdict, purified himself and ascended to the heavens to inquire whether or not the decree on earth was also decreed in the heavenly court. He was informed by the angel Gabriel, "Accept this upon yourselves, righteous and beloved ones, for I heard from behind the heavenly curtain that you have been ensnared in this decree." Only after Rabbi Ishmael received the tragic confirmation did the Romans begin their horrible executions. In Arzei HaLevanon, however, this entire account is strangely absent. Rav Salvechik explains that the reason for the recitation of this episode on Tisha B'Av differs from that of Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, we read Ela Ezkara because of the principle that the death of the righteous atones for our sins. In the same way that we mention other means of achieving forgiveness, we also mention the death of our greatest sages. Accordingly, Ela Ezkara is punctuated with the chorus, Chatanu Tzreinu, Slach Lanu Yotzreinu. We have sinned our rock, forgive us our creator. On Tisha B'Av, however, we read Arzei HaLevanon because of the principle that the death of the righteous is as devastating as the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Rather than acting as a request for atonement, it is a pure expression of grief. Because of this distinction, the dramatic episode of Rabbi Shmuel's heavenly ascent is omitted from the Tisha B'Av keynote. On Yom Kippur, we mention the ascent in order to highlight the fact that the 10 martyrs died willingly. Their loving acceptance of the divine decree makes their actions even greater and strengthens the atonement that we receive on their behalf. On Tisha B'Av, however, we are not interested in atonement. Accordingly, their internal mindset is irrelevant to our grief. All that matters is that they are gone, and the world must continue without the guidance of these great men. For this reason, Rabbi Shmuel's mystical journey is unrelated to the themes of Tisha B'Av and has no place in the kina of Arzei HaLevanon. Interestingly, the idea that Tisha B'Av is not a time for repentance or forgiveness is mentioned in Parshat Dvarim, invariably read the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av. Moshe there recounts the sin of the spies and Hashem's subsequent statement that the generation would be forbidden from entering the land of Israel. Despite God's decree, the people attempt to repent. In Devarim Perek Aleph, Pasuk Mem Aleph, Batanu v'tamru elai, chatanu l'Hashem, anachnu na'aleh v'nilchamnu, k'chol asher tzivanu Hashem Elokeinu. You answered and told me, says Moshe, we have sinned to God. We are going to go up and fight all that God has commanded us. Vayomer Hashem elai, emor lahem lo ta'alu v'lo tilachamu, ki eineni b'kir b'chem. God then said to me, tell them, don't go up, and don't fight, for I am not among you. Otherwise you will be smitten by your enemies. I told you this, but you did not listen. And I spoke to you, but you did not listen. And you rebelled against the word of God, and you wantonly went up to the mountain. And the Emori dwelling in the mountain came out against you, and they chased you the way the bees chase people. You came back and cried before God. And God did not listen to your voices, and he did not pay any attention to you. Although Bnei Yisrael were merely trying to do what they were originally commanded to do, that is to conquer the land, Hashem is not willing to accept this form of repentance. Indeed, Bnei Yisrael attempt to ascend to the land of Israel against God's will and are badly defeated on the battlefield. Chazal tell us that the decree to die in the wilderness was issued on Tisha B'Av. We also see that it was and remains a day which is not designated for repentance. Why would such a theme exist? Is it not true that nothing can stand in the way of true repentance? Although every individual wants his sins forgiven and his repentance accepted, the occasional rejection of our pleas teaches an essential truth about God. Too often, we think of Hashem as the grandfather who will give us everything we want, regardless of our own merit. And when the gifts we demand are not forthcoming, we question the fairness and even the very existence of that grandfather figure. Forgiveness, by definition, is an undeserved gift. Indeed, the Kabbalists speak of God's forgiveness as being rooted in a spiritual concept called Arich Anpin, which is also called the grandfather. A mature relationship with Hashem requires recognition that He is under no compulsion to do as we wish. He is absolutely free to do as He pleases. We can never demand something of God. We can only request, and request with the knowledge that the answer might be no. This is the meaning of the Talmudic teaching, anyone who prays for a long time and expects his prayer to be answered affirmatively will come to heart sickness, meaning his prayer will likely be rejected. Someone who expects that God will do what he wants him to do, someone who expects God to follow orders, so to speak, can never have a real relationship with God. B'nai Yisrael's mistake in ascending to the land of Israel, despite God's warning, was that they thought that they could tell God what to do. They felt that their repentance was sincere and that God would have no choice but to help them. God never has to do anything, and any attempt to force him into a particular action is theologically shallow and spiritually devastating. On Tisha B'Av, we refrain from repentance in order to acknowledge his freedom to do as he wishes, whether or not we are satisfied with the consequences. On Tisha B'Av, we sense God's distance. On Tisha B'Av, we recognize that he does what he wants, not what we want. And through this painful recognition, we open the doors to a better, deeper, and more complete relationship with the one above. Armed with that difficult but fundamental understanding, we are better prepared to become reunited with our Father. As we move from the exile of Tisha B'Av to the ultimate reconciliation of Yom Kippur 60 days later.